Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Very excited to talk to our next guest. She's had a pretty awesome week. She knocked a mother bleeper out. She signed a new fight deal. Master Valley Laredo, Miami Zone. First of all, congratulations on the week. Congratulations on the win, the new deal. Has this been the best week of your professional career? Looking at everything that's kind of gone on?
Yes and no. It's just the biggest... This win was most satisfying for me, first before for anybody else, for my own personal reasons, you know, what I had to overcome in this year and 4 months to perform that way. It just validated a lot of my brain and just showed me how strong of a mind I have and I could overcome anything, you know, and that for me is most important before anything else. And then it was more satisfying just shutting people up. You know, that's what I do. I'm good at that. I've been doing that since I was young and no one believed in me. And here I am, you know, and I know this win, you know, it was a beautiful knockout. I'm 3-0, but it also comes with a lot more responsibility and harder fights coming down the line, you know. And for as much as I want to enjoy something, I really don't, because at the end of the day, I'm only 3-0 still. And I want to be 10-0. I want to have that belt. And I'm not going to feel extremely satisfied and sit down and say, wow, Valerie, I'm proud of you, until I have that belt in my hand. So for right now, I'm enjoying it a little bit. Yes, I'm enjoying the way people are admiring what I did. But now there's just so much more that I have to prove, and it only gets harder from here. So I just have to handle it the right way and stay focused on what's important.
I've been wanting to ask you about this since the fight, because we didn't get a great hear of it during the fight. But when they went in between rounds 1 and 2, and your coaches were telling you to kick, I thought I heard you say, "No, I don't want to." Were you trying to work on something there because you saw something good? Like, did you want to get better at your hands? Because you were fine in a range in the first round. Obviously, it paid off, but they cut away to the other corner, so I didn't get to hear the whole exchange, and I kind of wanted to hear what your breakdown of that was.
Basically, I went to my corner, and Steve was like, "Valerie, you need to start kicking more, you know," and because my kick power is really 100 times stronger than my arm power, and I looked at him and I said, "No, Steve, I'm not kicking," and he's like, I'm not kicking because she's too close to my distance, right? So I'm going to kick her, she's going to catch my leg, and she's going to take me to the cage. I know what I'm doing. I have a feeling in my arms. And, you know, this happened to me in my amateur career too. My first amateur fight ever from Taekwondo, you know, I went in there and my coaches in Miami thinking that I was going to do a bunch of spinning kicks and double kicks, and I turned into a boxer. You know, boxing's in my blood and I love it. I have a natural feel for it, and I do feel like I have a knockout power that I'm going to use for the rest of my career.
Yeah, and you, it's almost exhausting watching you just from home in that first round, because the maneuvering you're doing the whole time. Like, what goes into that? Just is that a strategy to get to figure out what her range is? Are you trying to lure her in? Because no, you never stop moving.
That was 100% game plan. Because if it were up to me, I would just sit there in the pocket and scrap. You know, my coaches are like, "Don't be stupid. You know, this girl's coming in there aggressive. We knew she was going to go in there aggressive to clinch me, take me down, and do her jiu-jitsu, right?" And then they were like, "Just circle away to the right, away from her right hand, you know, and pick her apart with your hands and follow with your kicks." And I got into the fight. That's what I started doing. And then slowly, after the first round, I kind of got the hang of it. You know, I saw where she was open, and I just felt like a laser. And every time I would throw, I would hurt her. And I'm kind of blind, like I have really bad eyesight. So I told my coaches, "Look, every time I hit her and I hurt her, tell me so I could finish, right?" And I just started seeing it. And the more I would punch her, the more blood I saw in it. When I see blood, I go after it. So I remember in the second round, she made a big mistake at the end of the round trying to low kick me, because I have the best timing in the world when it comes with distance, especially with kicks. So I saw that kick coming before she threw it, and I popped her right when she dropped her arm. But I don't know. It's just game plan.
Did you know what part of the round it was when you did crack her? Like, did you feel like time was closing in, you had to pounce, or was it all just reactionary in the moment?
Like, at the end of that round?
Yeah.
Oh, no. At the end of the round, I heard the buzzer, and you're going to learn something about me fighting. When I scream, it's because I'm hitting hard. Okay, and that happens to me in American Top Team when we spar. They're always mad at me because everyone's sparring like normal people, and you hear me, ha, 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 ha. It's a taekwondo thing, you know? And they're always like, Valerie, stop being emotional. Shut up. I'm like, no, trust me. I know what I'm doing. It's my way of, like, I don't know. I when I hit hard, it's because I'm throwing hard. I mean, when I scream loud, it's because I'm throwing hard. So in the last 10 seconds, you know, I heard the buzzer, but she made a big mistake. And I was like, I'm not going to another round. And I just threw and scrammed with everything I had. And I love throwing overhands for some reason. I don't know. I think I'm a gangster. I love throwing overhands. And then I was like, damn, there's 5 seconds left. And I just jumped on top of her. I'm like, and I used both arms because I wanted to get as much punches in as possible so she couldn't get up.
That gym that you guys have there, it is sick. But just even the stable you guys have had as women, I mean, you have the goat train in there, obviously, but everybody, like, is that useful? Like, honestly, you get to see not only your skill set because of all the talent you have, but you guys, your stable of women is incredible. What is that like for you as a young fighter of what you can pick up? And I mean, how much better do you feel your skill set's been since your debut just training there?
You know, I used to train in an old American Top Team in Miami in the beginning of my MMA career when I didn't even know how to throw a punch, right? And I was with that camp for my first two amateur fights, and I heard of American Top Team, and I saw the type of woman who trained there, and I was like, if I want to be someone in the sport, I need to train with the best. I don't care if it's 2 hours away or if it's 45 minutes away, I have to find a way to make it happen. Turns out that one of my old college sorority sisters, her dad was an old American Top Team coach. And I had no idea about MMA back then. And then here I am saying, Abby, are you still in Coconut Creek? And she's like, yeah, you know, come stay with me. Help me out with my rent and I'll help you find a job. So I waitressed. I lived with my friend for 6-7 months. And I was able to start my camp in American Top Team as an amateur. And they let me train with the pros as an amateur. So I was getting top-notch coaching and advice and being around all these stars as an amateur. I finished my amateur career with them, and American Top Team has developed me into this fighter I am, you know. And on top of everything, just mentally seeing all the champions who go there, you know, you pick up on a vibe and what works for them. And I'm always asking questions. I'm like, so you're nervous before you fight? How do you deal with this? How do you handle that? If they grab you by here, you know, I ask a lot of questions and I analyze a lot and I pick up from that. But just being around all these huge fighters, especially the women like JJ and Amanda Nunes and Nina and stuff, you know, that's how I want to be. And I'm also seeing my level of talent and how competitive I could be with them and how ready I am to fight at that level.
So you talked about how hard it was, everything leading up to this. So you got into like a car accident. What the hell happened that almost made you pull out of the fight? That I mean, I saw the pictures on Instagram. It looked really scary.
Yeah, so that's not even the worst of it. Well, this year I've gone through a lot. And so I went on Exagon. You guys don't know about that. And Exagon was really hard for me because it was completely out of my comfort zone.
That's
and
the reality show, right?
The reality show, the one George was on. I really struggled on that show because I'm not very athletic unless it comes to hitting something hard or dancing. Those are the only two things I'm gonna, because if you ask me to jump, I can't jump high. Like, I'm not coordinated for those things. And that show is a competition show on obstacle courses, swimming and stuff. It's completely out of my comfort zone. So that show was really hard for me. And on top of everything, I gained a lot of weight on that show because I can't eat like a normal girl and not gain weight. You know, my metabolism's weird. I gain weight very fast. I lose weight very fast. So from that show, I struggled from a huge eating disorder, got back, saw myself at the worst point in my life. You know, my parents were going through a huge divorce. My family was all separated. I was just in a dark place. And on top of everything, I didn't know how to handle it. I was very young facing that. And all I could think about was the next time I got to go in the cage. Then January comes, I'm supposed to fight Tara. I have a partially torn MCL. Okay, I was in a fight like that. And then I really hurt it bad. So I couldn't fight. And then I had to recover from my first like real injury in all my years of martial arts, you know, a torn MCL just because I didn't tap out of a knee bar at practice. And then quarantine happened. So I was just frustrated because I felt like I started being seen as just an Instagram girl, but I was training harder than anyone. You know, I had a lot of things happen in my life that I wasn't ready to fight. And then leading up to this fight, you know, I got the call in 3 weeks notice. I was already closer to it. I'm like, okay, I could drop this in 3 weeks, no problem. And that girl, Tara, has been harassing me for months and months and months. Like, when I mean harassing me, like, every day tweeting at me, posting something at me, every single day, just annoying and ugly, like, so, so annoying. And then the fight week, that Wednesday, I had a huge problem happen in my house, which I don't want to talk about it, but it was ugly. And that's when I was going to pull out, that Wednesday, and I left Sunday. And I was talking to Abraham, and my mind's not there for this fight. I don't think I could do it. My mind is focused on other things right now. I'm going to hurt myself. And Abraham was like, take the night to think about it. And I spoke to a sports psychologist. I spoke to Abraham's sister. She's one of my best friends. They spoke some sense into me, and they told me, Valerie, nobody loves a victim. You know, people would admire you more for overcoming being a victim and performing. And that's what I had to do. But then Saturday, before I left Sunday, I was on the highway after I trained at American Top Team, cut the last weight I had, blow dried my hair, haven't packed yet to leave Sunday. I'm on the highway on a merge, 45 minutes on the way home. And there's a huge tow truck behind me speeding. And I'm looking at him and I'm in front of him on a merge. And he tries to pass me. He doesn't realize I'm there with his long, like the long back. And it hits me and I spin into the rail and I broke as hard as I could. Like if I was getting punched, I stopped right before I hit the rail and I could have flipped over that thing. I freaked out because I was like, you know, there's a girl who's going into the cage to literally try to kill me. Okay. And look at all the stupid shit I'm dealing with right now. I'm not even focusing. I thought God was telling me, don't fight, you're going to get hurt, you know? But I was like, you have to do it. You have to take in control of your life. You have to take control of the moment. Don't even think about it. I didn't post anything about the accident. I didn't want anybody to know. I wanted to completely take that energy out and put it into the fight. And I used it and I put it all towards Tara. I feel so bad for her. Well, I'm serious. I had a lot of anger built up for a long time.
Man, that's bananas. Thanks, I guess, for, you know, giving insight into that. That's pretty crazy. And it's no wonder then, I guess, why your celebration was so much, everything was coming out. Which, by the way, I want to just say that because I know people with the dancing and because they, you know, all that stuff. I love it because that's like Miami Hurricane stuff to me. Like, I don't know. Have you ever seen The U, the documentary?
Yes.
That is like score touchdown, dance on your opponent. That's the stuff I love. And then, you know, they had to like make the PSA afterwards. We're like, we have to do sportsmanship rules. You listen, that's with everything that you just described, you went through. No wonder, like, you feel like you're celebrating and everything's coming out like that.
Celebration was more like, I think people, the only reason some people criticize it is because they don't understand the background. They don't understand that this girl's been harassing me as a woman, as an athlete, my family, like everything for months and months and months. Like, imagine how annoying. And when she said I pulled out of that fight because I couldn't make the weight. Like, no, I always make weight. That's not why I pulled it. I was genuinely hurt. And on top of that, mentally and physically, I wasn't well. So I just feel like if people from the outside understood the back perspective from Twitter and stuff, and that girl Macy Chasen or whatever her name is, they wouldn't understand why I dance like that because I'm petty. Okay, so in the first moment, I'm like, okay, you're gonna criticize me for my TikToks. Watch, I'm gonna knock her out. I'm gonna do a TikTok. I'm gonna dance 100 times harder because that's how I am.
Do you think you're gonna deal with that your entire career, like the cheap shots, the easy stuff? And are you Teflon to that stuff already? Is it already like stuff that you can handle easily?
Everybody's gonna criticize me. Everybody's gonna try to question my character. Everyone's gonna try to question my intentions in the sport. It's okay. I never respond. You know, I stay true to myself. You know, I stay true to my, I have an intuition natural since I was little, telling me what to do, what not to do, what to post, what not to post. How I want to brand myself and market myself is not for anybody. It's for myself. Like, this is my brand. Like that's my neon sign. That's my Loretta logo.
That's cool.
Like, yeah. That's what I stand for. Like, that's in my heart. And, you know, I feel like I'm different and I feel like I'm myself. And on top of everything, I'm a natural born fighter. My dad's crazy. I've been doing this my whole life. You know, I could fight in that cage for many years to come at Bellator's pace and show the world who I am and what makes me different than every other female fighter right now in Bellator, the UFC.
Do you have an idea, like, with signing this new deal with Bellator and having a knockout like that, what is, I guess, the game plan of how you want to keep developing your career? Because you're doing a very brave thing where you are doing this on Bellator, which is a big stage from the start. It's a cool thing that they're doing, too, where they have... So, like, do you know, like, at what pace and what kind of opponent you want to go to and when do you want to get to, I guess, a title kind of level? Because I know you said that was, you know, one of your goals.
Well, I think people forget that I'm 22, okay, and I'm 3-0. And I debuted pro, opening a main card for the first time fighting without shin guards. Like, that alone is crazy, you know, and I'm doing this at my pace. Like, I know my talent, I know my potential, and I know I could beat anybody. But right now I'm going by what Bellator, my manager, thinks is right for me, and developing an athlete in their career at a very young age, you know, and I want to be in this for a long run. You know, there's no need to rush into anything. You know, I'm getting experience. I learned a lot from this fight. It was so much fun for me. I love the no fans and stuff. And I'm getting better and better by the day. And every time I fight in that cage, I have more experience. So when I feel and my management, my team feels is appropriate, you know, we're going to go for that belt. But I know I could do it. You know, if it were up to me, I'll fight tomorrow for the belt. But I know that everything comes with time. I have to do things the right way. And I need to step a lot of obstacles and paths and different types of fighters before I get that opportunity.
How'd you celebrate?
Oh, I got drunk. I didn't even eat. No, because the thing is that I fought and I won, and I was just like, it was just so satisfying. It was a satisfying fight. My sister was there for me, my coaches and stuff. We went up to the room. I changed fast. I go, let's go downstairs. And we went to eat, and I didn't even eat. I just drank a whole bottle of wine, and I was drunk, and I missed my flight 2 times.
That's awesome. Listen, you deserve it. I guess before we get you out of here, when do you think you want to be back in action? It seemed like you were, you know, right back in training this week. When do you want to be back at it?
Hopefully by November, December. I think December, early December.
Cool. Thank you for the time. We always appreciate you being generous with your time, Valerie. I know Miami roots for you, and they love hearing the updates from you. So thank you so much for making time for us. And
to see the support I've gotten from Miami, honestly, like, that means more to me than anything. It's really fun to see. I got to my apartment building and I went outside. Everybody watched my fight here. Like, it makes me really happy that I'm representing Cubans and our culture here.
That's awesome. All the safety to you during the crazy COVID times, and can't wait to see you in action again.
Thank you so much. Bye. All thank right. you for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.